Reva?
Hi, I'm Reva Entine, chair of the KPFA LSB. As it was said yesterday, we're far from harmonious and cohesive, but I think we're all experiencing our growing pains, and I think I want to talk about what we're learning from our growing pains in terms of how I think it might apply to others. And part of, I'm actually feeling more optimistic since I've been here because you guys haven't always been harmonious, and it feels really harmonious to me compared to what I experience locally, and I think it shows that we're in this together. We know the state wants us to fail. It's important that we succeed. And I hope to take some of this energy, and the four KPFA LSB people here can take some of this energy back to our board, and hopefully we can transform as well. The issue that it's LSB versus staff is a bit inaccurate because the staff are not unilateral. Of our six staff, one of them votes with the listeners. Some of the listeners vote with the staff. So I think it's important to see that the staff are not monolithic. And as a person who, when I exercise my vote, I generally vote with the listeners. I was a 13-year unionized nonprofit worker. I believe in unionized workers. I believe in due process. I believe in workers' rights. I don't see it as an issue of being anti-worker. However, what we face, and I think this is all of us, is the democratization process that we won means that listeners have a role, an input, and somewhat of a say in how things go. And what I'm learning is that the norm is that long-term workers, when you've been at a job a long time, who wants to change what you're doing? If you haven't had anybody on your back, who wants somebody on your back? So there's a definite conflict. Tension, it's one of the elephants in the living room, is that staff have a reason to feel scared and suspicious and resentful, even though it's legitimate because we won this victory, for the listeners to say, we have to collaborate, okay? Status quo is no longer a possibility. So our experience, and I'm relatively new in the game. I wasn't on the lab. I mean, I was out there in 99 when Dennis got thrown out and everybody else, but I'm relatively new in the game. It seems like what's going on is the struggle was happening. Dennis pulled the plug. We almost lost the network. Dennis Bernstein, you know what I mean, 99, 10,000 people are in the streets. The staff had lost their jobs. We win the victory. The staff are back in their jobs. And now it sort of feels like they're saying, thank you very much. We have our jobs back. Go home. You don't know anything about running radio. And I'm only slightly exaggerating, and it's not everybody, because I don't mean to say the staff are monolithic. But at one of our board meetings, one of our staff reps to the LSB read a statement in which he said, listeners saying they know how to run a radio is equivalent to airplane passengers hijacking a plane. And we resent that because we're not hijacking a plane. The democratization struggle is that let's collaborate here. I think that's part of what's going on with struggle. What we've come to and what we're getting through. So when I ran for this position, Gus Newport was the newly hired general manager, and he didn't last 9 months, and he's out. So we're with an interim general manager. So we're in the process of hiring a general manager, and we also hope to have a program director hired within the same 6 months, so that both are in place in 6 months. In terms of what might be applicable to all of you, our COI did a really good job of coming up with requirements to be sure that we have a diverse hiring pool at every stage of the way. And it was a question of how can we solicit the data to know that we have a diverse pool. And it was a bit of a struggle. How can you do it legally? EEO forms. There was a lot of stuff. Pacifica lawyers. And the result is we have the form. It should be available to everybody because, in my mind, it was necessary for any hiring in the network to have the means to solicit the data so we know how diverse our pools are. So that's actually one thing that caused a lot of sweat at my end that hopefully will be useful to all of you. We have a form. It's voluntary. Any applicant gets it. Please, it's voluntary. They understand why we need it. Okay. I was sort of embarrassed to find out that I think we're the last station in the network to finally get on the air as an LSB show, so we're going to do it in June. And I sort of feel like we've let the listeners down a little bit by not communicating with them. We're not the last. All right. Well, everybody, we got to do it. I feel like we're letting the listeners down. You know, they elected us. We need to communicate with them. And we're also going to have a town hall meeting, we hope, in the fall. We are mandated to have two a year. It's really important that we communicate with our listeners that elected us. I'm speaking, of course, as a listener rep. The other accomplishment is the structure, trying to clarify the relationship between program counsel, general manager, and LSB. And the case in point was the time change of Democracy Now! And the Morning Show. And to summarize in a nutshell, it was a year in process between the program counsel and the lab before I came on board, and then it was three meetings and 6 hours of deliberation until we finally came to a result by calling for special orders of the day. And so we basically reiterated and confirmed what the program counsel had done. But on some level, the fact that that felt like World War III to me, that it was really just a relatively minor change, reflects the resistance to minor change, frankly. And we just need to look at what the subtexts are. Was it really about Morning Show and Democracy Now!, or was it about something more? I'm almost done. Two past managers said about KPFA, and I think it's applicable to the network, that we're a culture, not a system. Culture is subtext, unaccountable system. You know where you are. It's transparent. And I think that's what we're all trying to build. Yeah. Governance, all that kind of stuff is system accountability. So along those lines, we have our eight standing committees, and I'll just highlight what has been accomplished by some of them. Well, we passed a budget, which includes money for webcasting, so I really believe all of our meetings should be webcast so the listeners can hear it. We have a program committee that set up a subcommittee for news, so we're investigating news, minor things like what words to use and not use in a particular situation. You know, do you say terrorist, do you use freedom fighter, and bigger issues. And the positive is that our news department started out resistant and is now agreeing to collaborate. That was major. I'm almost done. I talked about COI helping with the job search, GM hire committee. That's basically it. And I like Jim's suggestion that some of us meet regularly with him. What my lesson here is that communication really helps, and we need to talk to each other. And it's really about accountability and transparency. We said that when we ran, and let's just do it. And finally, I'd like to thank the network. Pacifica to send the LSB chairs here. I think it's a good use of our money. I think it's a good use of our time. And I would hope that we continue the practice.
Thank you.
Okay. Miguel.
This is not really a question, but since I've been like around for a long, long time, and this struggle, I know that people have been longer than me, but I just want to give you an advice. I think that Pacifica is a great organization, and we always had conflicts. I think what is important here to highlight is the capacity that we have in really making progress while we are resolving our conflicts. When we have the crisis in 1999, that was really ugly, and even our enemies were really corporate people with money, power, you name it. We were able to sit down with them and work it out, some of those conflicts. So I believe that if we were able in 1999, 2000, to come out with some kind of solution, at least that keep us alive, and we are here 4 years later, I think that I had total belief that those conflicts, not only in KPFA, but in KPFA, and everywhere, I think that we have the potential to come out with a solution and keep making progress for this organization.
Thanks, Miguel.
So we have
Ray.
By the way, I know you congratulate you on the you're on the fire. I know that a lot of progress was made in terms of diversity in Berkeley. SARS is the expression of that. I know that there was a pretty large Asian community which was not represented at all. And as we know, this is part of the mission. And this is how to really be strong, to have every element of that society be part of the struggle. So I'd like to know what you're doing, including something I didn't hear earlier, that in searching those communities, you have to involve elements of those communities that are conscious, that are part of their own community struggles and known there in that search. Otherwise, it will not succeed. And briefly, I'd like to hear, I understand that the news department at KPFA has a peculiar characteristic of covering Haiti as being a problem essentially of the failure of the Aristide administration rather than primarily an expression of interference of U.S. Reactionary presence in throughout the whole area. So can you please comment on that for me?
You use the word for peculiar representation for Haiti. I have to be careful. I think there's a larger question. I'm not going to really respond specifically because different people portray Haiti in different ways. The specific thing that I had said to one of our news co-anchors is that I feel like our news department is to the right of the Congressional Black Caucus because we don't say that Aristide was kidnapped. And it went on from there. And it went on from, well, Flashpoint's is editorial, news is news, and then I got to the point where if news is objective, we wouldn't need alternative radio. And how do our politics shape how we do news? And I don't have the answer, so I'd rather not respond specifically to you, but if you guys ever get beyond the, and I've been on boards, you know, the tedium of the, and get to the meaty issues of how do our politics inform how we do news, it would be really awesome. So I'd rather not get into that more specifically. In terms of better outreach to communities that we need to reach better, town hall meetings is one way. We need to look about covering local news, and actually the Democracy Now! Morning Show switch opens up the 6 to 7 a.m. slot, which we hope will be local programming going out to involve people that we haven't yet, which is the way to get people involved in the station. And that's
my question was really what is being done.
I'm saying that it's both town hall meetings, and actually we're also talking about moving our LSB meetings into different parts of our signal area, which would be reaching out to impacted communities and going to them rather than having them come to us.
Okay.
Is the best I can answer at this point.
Thank you. William.
I just wanted to ask, I actually want to make a comment before my question is that when you talk about the program council change, where program council moved to move Democracy Now!, and you talk about the news department and how a new subcommittee is evaluating and how relationships are getting better, I think that that we're living in two different worlds where the staff definitely doesn't feel that relationships have gotten better. And I think that a lot of the strife that's going on at A has a lot to do with the fact that the LSB has noticed that there's issues around us not having directors in positions that would help with these decisions, like a public affairs director that could help guide the news department on coverage, like a program director that could help implement programming changes. And what the LSB has done, rather than looking at how to fill those positions, they've come in and taken the roles of those departments and said, because we're listeners and because we're a democratic elected board, we understand how radio works, and we need to help cajole the staff into doing their jobs, when I think that a lot of the issue is a lack of management. So my question is, how can the LSB work to build a partnership with staff instead of coming in and taking the place
okay.
of what a staff role would be?
Okay. Thank you.
Again, briefly, you said the things are not better with the staff. I beg to differ. I don't believe the staff is monolithic. The letter from Flashpoints is 20%. They said they're 20% of the paid staff that disassociated with that union letter. So there's differences among the staff.
20%.
I have the floor
just
at this point, please.
Just let her respond, please.
Which there's lots of room for improvement, and I'm open to suggestion. But I believe that we can only move forward if we go at it collaboratively and staff do not see suggestions for change as a threat. Example that I meant to – I said to one of our long-term programmers who's a staff rep on the LSB, let's hope all our work helps make the station stronger. And she said, it already is strong. She was defensive that stronger was a criticism. And I said, we might already be strong, but we have to be stronger. The state's coming down on us. We have to do the best we can. And we will move forward together, William, if we all believe that we can work together to make it stronger, and that word is not seen as a threat. And I'm open to suggestion.
Thank you, Ava. Cheryl, do you want to say something?
Yes, I don't have a question, but I'm just speaking in support of my chair. People should understand this, that I'm not asking a question right now. I'm speaking in support of my chair because,
my goodness. Well, you know, this is very important to understand. Yes, there's going to be acrimony. Yes, there has been acrimony. But you want to know something? Through working in the committees together, where you have listeners volunteering, working right next to you, that tends to put a little restraint on some of that foolishness. And then there is, of course, the objective reality that work must be performed. So, for instance, many of our standing committees are working quite well. She did not have the time to mention them all, but I can tell you that I'm with the outreach committee. And every time there's a major public event, you see our little KPF banner there. You see me out there talking to people. We're handing out. Because that's really what we want to do. We want to face the nation. We want to change people's minds. We want to draw closer to them, recruit them, make them a part of the life of the station. That's what we should be about. And as we do that, and the more of that we do, it starts to dwarf the differences that we have between us.
Thank you, Gerald. And thank you, Reva, very much.
Okay.